Good morning.
Good morning.
I told Steve about a year ago, someday I'm going to do the Christmas sermon at our church, which also means, hey, I want to do that next year. So here I am, giving the sermon today, a couple days before Christmas. But before I get too far in it, I really have been working on this sermon a whole year. And so today I'm going to kind of share with you a project that I have been working on for the last 12 months. But before I get too far into that, I want to show you this picture. This is Mary, and I feel like this is a live depiction of what I feel like internally right now. I screenshotted this, grabbed this off an Instagram account of one of my favorite authors, Melanie Schenkel. She's hilarious. She writes some Christian books, and she put this up on her Instagram account this week, of this is how she feels right now raising a teenager. And her now teenager made this little nativity scene for her when she was 3 years old. And so this is Mary with these big wild eyes and her hair going everywhere and kind of looking disheveled. And that is exactly how I feel right now. By the time Thanksgiving hits every year, I get very excited because I love December. I love all the parties. I love everything that we're going to do with Cora and all of the traditions that we're going to dive into. I love that our church honors Advent and talks about that openly. We also, because Steve and I like to do everything in, I guess, very short amount of times, we had a baby, had Christmas, and our anniversary all land within 9 days of each other. And so when Thanksgiving hits, I get very excited about December coming. But what I also forget, it is by far the busiest month for my career. It's kind of like having a baby. This is why you have multiple kids, because you forget what pregnancy and birth is like. But after a couple of years, you're like, oh, I can do this again. This is kind of what happens every Christmas to me, is like December comes and I'm like, I can cram as much stuff as I want in there and work more hours than I am going to work any other month of the year. And so December comes and I start just kind of going and going and going. And then about the 23rd of December, this is what I look like. After clocking more hours this last week than I ever have in my private practice, doing all of the holiday parties, celebrating a 7-year-old, going to all the things, I am done. And so this sermon that I had been working on all year, this week, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this in the middle of saying yes to everything. But I think this picture and what we're going to dive into today is the beauty of where we find ourselves in this holiday season, which is why I think Advent and us pausing every Sunday to light a candle and remember specifically what we are supposed to be and should be and wanting to be leaning into as we think about the birth of Christ. And so that is what we are going to do today. We're going to focus in specifically on different nativity scenes as we kind of walk through these verses that Caleb just read. So if you'll pray with me. Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching through me. May all the minds and hearts and ears be open to what you have to say to us this morning. And may your spirit rest thick on each individual sitting in this place. So this scene that Caleb just read is a very famous scene that I'm sure a lot of us have heard over the years leading up to Christmas, right? We call it the nativity scene, the birth of Jesus. And in all the Gospels, there's a little bit, there's different details that you can see throughout each story. Now, I grew up in a church that really didn't talk about Advent very much, and we actually didn't really talk much about the nativity scene. It was always read to me, but nativity scenes that would pop up throughout Christmas, you know, in people's front yards, was something that other people did. It was not something that my family did. We never put a nativity scene up in my home. We never put one out in my front yard. None of my friends really had those in their front yard. It was just this story that we talked about the birth of Jesus. And so growing up, the nativity scene specifically was not that important to me. And then Steve and I, we met, like I'm sure most of y'all know, in Abilene at ACU. And one of the things that we started doing when we were first dating is we started going every Wednesday night to Colonial Apartments, which I think some of y'all have heard us talk about. It was a really low-income apartment building. And we would go and we would hang out with the children there and love on them and teach them about Jesus. And every year, the second Sunday of December, we would put on a Christmas pageant. And it was my first real exposure to kind of real life hands-on of what a nativity scene looks like. And so we would have all of these kids come in who never really went inside church buildings, and we would put them in shepherd and angel and magi, and we would have a little Mary and Joseph and then a little baby Jesus. And we would put on and talk to the congregation at Highland about Jesus' birth, and we would see it through little kid eyes. And we would have these little kids come, and like I said, we would dress them up, and then we would sit up there and whisper their lines into their ears. And it was my first real exposure to kind of the flesh of what a nativity scene is. And so this last year, as I was pondering coming to Christmas and talking about this nativity, the birth of Jesus, I wanted to be mindful of seeing the nativity scene throughout the year and not just at Christmas time. Because one of the things that I began to notice is I actually see nativity scenes all 12 months of the year. And so I've been taking pictures for the last 12 months of different nativity scenes that I've seen, and I would like to show them to you because I found some actually pretty cool ones. So this is one, actually a very beautiful one. Steve took these pictures. This is at a Lutheran church that he goes to spiritual direction. And they're huge. The picture actually doesn't do it justice. Huge wood cuttings of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And it kind of takes up the whole front. And they actually brought hay in and had what they would call like the stable looking thing. And then had the wise men over here. And you see all the animals. What you don't see to the side is the shepherds that are coming in. And all of these groupings of these people that came to see Jesus and this miracle that God was sending. It's very beautiful. The coloring was beautiful. This is probably the most beautiful nativity scene that I caught pictures of. This isn't an antique store. This is a small Jesus and Mary and Joseph, and it's in between a antique bread box and some other decoration. And they were about this big, and it was just hanging out in an antique store that we came across in one of our traveling sometime in the spring. This is in Galveston. That's all Marys. And then those are Josephs behind there. You can have that Mary for $85. And she's standing next to at least the end Mary next to some Christmas candles, and they were way up on a shelf that we walked into a room, and there's the side. You can also see Santa Claus and his boots and the little nutcracker, and then the little wise man that got put in there. And then you see some more Mary and Josephs over there in the corner. This is one that we found in Virginia. I like this one. You know, again, Mary and Joseph and Santa Claus, all the little plastic. I used the plastic nativity scenes. I thought kind of looked weird. And now after doing this project, I kind of want a plastic nativity scene to put out in front of my house. I found this one funny. The wise man got caught in the rocking chair at the antique store. This was taken sometime in July, and you have some Christmas decorations around. But he was just kind of hanging out there by himself. I have no idea where the rest of his companions are. This one was taken at a huge antique fair somewhere in, I think, Virginia again. This is Mary and Joseph. You can buy them for $55 together, which I thought was a really good deal because on Amazon right now, you can get this Mary and Joseph and plastic Jesus for $200. So the plastic nativities are actually kind of expensive, which I was not expecting, especially when you find them in antique stores. This is in Round Top. Steve and Cora and I go to Round Top at least once a year, and this was out and it was hot. And this one you can have lots of different, the camel, which I always find really funny when they put the camel in the nativity scene, and Mary and Joseph. Mary's holding baby Jesus in this one. Again, a different one. This is kind of sitting off to the side. You get different angles. I like the jack-o'-lanterns in the back. You also have the plastic smiling pumpkins. This is one of my favorites. This is also my big regret of the year. I should have bought that little guy. How cute is that? This is a nativity scene in an itty-bitty jar. I found this in an oddity shop on the Strand in Galveston. And I like this one because Jesus is cuddled up to the sheep right there. And there's Mary and Joseph. I think this little guy comes from Bolivia. But I really like that one. I wish I had bought it for myself. This one, this is taken right here where I'm standing. So we invited the church down the street down to Willow Meadows down to hang out with us last Christmas. And they brought some of their kids, and we had some of our kids and some of the kids across the street. And we all made little nativity scenes together. Cora made this one. And right there you see the angel kind of standing in front of Jesus and Mary, Joseph standing in the corner. Mary kind of standing over there on the side. You have the stable, and one of my favorites is when people always put the star over the stable. And so I like that. I like all the kids in the background too. Right now you can buy this for $9.99 at Target. Little plastic one. I just thought this one was real cute, and it was in a plastic box. You can find a nativity scene depicted as anything. So this was kind of fun. This is Cora. So last year in Roots, we got the nativity scene finger puppets. I think a lot of our kids have those. And so Cora was super excited when we pulled those out. This year, you have Jesus there on her thumb, Mary and Joseph on her fingers, and then the wise men and shepherd kind of standing there on the other hand. We went to this really cool ice sculpture thing this year at the Gaylord in Fort Worth. And it was an old school Rudolph scene, and we got to walk through it, and it was amazing. We had to wear these huge, big trench coats. And then at the very end, it was very surprising to me. You walk through these doors, and they had this gorgeous nativity scene all carved out in ice. Again, pictures don't do this justice, because if I had really gone back and gotten the whole scene, they had, you have longhorns. This is like the Texas nativity scene, hanging out there with Mary and Joseph, and they had everything there, angels in the ceiling. I mean, it was pretty incredible, but that is all carved out in ice. Cora got in on the project with me as we were going throughout the season. This is taken in November. We found this nativity scene at one of my favorite stores in Bel Air, and there she is tending to Jesus. And this one, again, the camel joins the wise men and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and Cora hanging out with baby Jesus. And then this one, this is the nativity scene that I have in my house. This is the only nativity scene that I have in my house, because again, I wasn't really quite sure what to think of nativity scenes when I had seen them growing up and even into my adult years. But one of the people that kind of changed my mind about nativity scenes was actually Betty Grant. And so I see a lot of y'all nodding your heads. As many of y'all had probably seen, Betty Grant had hundreds, if not thousands, of nativity scenes that she would set up around her home every Christmas. And I actually never had the pleasure of seeing any of her nativity scenes, but I always heard lots of people talk about it. And then as our church would kind of talk about it, and then having a child of my own, and then reading the scriptures and spending time in it, the nativity scene, regardless of how it looks, became this very beautiful depiction of Jesus coming into the world. And so I told Steve 2 or 3 years ago, I want my own nativity scene, but I need to start out really small, and I don't want lots of them like Betty. But this one, Steve and I came across in Belize. And if you've ever been to Belize, it is really nice tourism and very poor of the poor of the poor. And so we actually landed there on a cruise ship, and we did not do any excursions that day. And I said, I just want to go into Belize. And so we actually left the terminal. And as soon as you leave the terminal, it is a different place. And so we started walking up and down the streets. And what it is, because tourists are going to come out of the terminal area, is it's a lot of kind of lean-to rooms that you can walk into, and different people are selling their goods. And one of the very last stalls that off the beaten path that Steve and I walked into was this woman. And she had these handmade nativity scenes that she was selling. And we talked in the broken English and dialects that we could talk back and forth in. And she was selling these things that she was making so she could go home and feed her babies. And so I was like, well, of course, I am going to buy my nativity scene from you. And so I picked out this little nativity scene. And right there you have Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. I love all the bright colors that it's wrapped in. And you have the wise men and the shepherds in the back. And I kind of think the shepherds look like women, which I kind of like. and then you have some of the animals sitting in front. The nativity scene is beautiful. It is also depicted in a thousand different ways wherever you look. And if you read the scripture specifically, what you can get lost in is it's actually wrong. It's because nowhere do you find all of these characters in the same place at the same time, right? It is just something that we have done over the years to put up for decoration and to have everything in the same place when we're talking about the birth of Jesus. I really like the Luke story and the way that Luke talks about the birth of Jesus, about this unlikely couple, this virgin teenager who is pregnant with the Son of Man, and she's going off this news by angels telling her this. This man who probably looks like a fool for being engaged to a woman that he did not get pregnant. And then on top of that, she is very large with child and traveling by donkey to go get taxed very heavily and counted for a census. I've told y'all before I always really relate to Mary during the Christmas season because Cora was born on December 20th. And so the entire month of December, I'm like, I don't even know how Mary did that. I can barely even like waddle down the hall in my house. So I really feel like I connect with Mary in this story. And then they get there, and because Bethlehem is just overcrowded with tons of people coming in for the census, there's no room for them. And so actually a lot of the commentaries that I was reading, they said it's really not that uncommon probably for them to be sleeping in some sort of cave or stable or barn, because people were probably sleeping in all sorts of odd places because there was no room. There were too many people in Bethlehem. And so they get there and Mary's like, great, now I'm starting to have contractions. And so they find themselves in this stable. There's no room at the inn. And they push some hay together. And the song that we sang about Jesus not crying is probably not true. I do not think that's a true line in a song we sing. And Jesus comes into the world in the most perfect and unassuming way. And I think that's actually one of the most beautiful things about the nativity scene, specifically when it's one that's maybe not as beautiful, is it was not this very flashy, amazing scene. It was among animals in some sort of barn, and no one witnessed it really but Mary and Joseph. And right here, God does what he does through so many different stories throughout the Bible. I'm going to come in ways that you can't imagine and that aren't going to be flashy. And it's going to be perfect. And so now that's what I see when I look at the nativity scene, regardless of what's up there and depicted in the scene. Cora and I were driving a couple days ago, and some of our best conversations happened in the car. And out of nowhere, she goes, "Hey, Mommy." And she knows that I've been working on this, but this conversation kind of caught me off guard. She goes, you know the birth of Jesus, those pictures that we see? So I turned down the music. I'm like, yeah, what pictures do you see? She goes, yeah, you know the nativity scene pictures. She goes, Miss Martha showed us one this last week in Bible class. And I was like, oh, cool. What was in the picture? And so she starts listing off all the things about Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and all the wise men and the shepherds. And then there was angels that were over the barn and a big star was up in the sky. And she said it was a very beautiful picture, but you know what? It doesn't really matter what the picture looks like. I said, oh, what matters? She goes, Jesus. And we sat there and she goes, because all artists have different interpretations of art. And I said, they do. And I said, that's actually what I've been working on all year long, taking these pictures of the nativity scene, is everyone's going to think about it differently. But here is the one thing that I hope we all have in common with the nativity scene. Is Jesus, that this is the beginning. The old world is no more, and Jesus is come, and God is ushering in something new. There is a reason we stop and we focus on the birth of Jesus at the beginning of the Advent season and at the beginning of the church calendar. It sets us up for everything that we are going to talk about throughout the rest of the year, right? That God comes and He is with us always right now, and He's going to do things in unusual, miraculous, mysterious ways, in ways that we don't understand. And we spend all year long talking about those stories. And so it's a really good place to start at the beginning of the Advent season. One of the songs that I love during Christmas is Lauren Daigle's, I just went blank, Light of the World. If y'all have not listened to this song, I highly recommend that you write this down and listen to it after you leave here. I'm going to end today with these lyrics because I think it captures beautifully what we've been focusing in on. Of Jesus is what we've been talking about is coming. But these next couple days as we lean into Christmas, we need to lean into the words of Emmanuel. He is with us right now. And all the flashy things and how I feel and how all these nativity scenes look, it doesn't matter. What really matters is God is with us, and He is going to be with us on Christmas Day and as we move into this new year. And that is good, good news for us. The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. O come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. O come, Emmanuel. And you can hear the angels singing, glory to the light of the world. Glory, the light of the world is here. The drought breaks with the tears of a mother. A baby's cry is the sound of love. Come down, Emmanuel. He is the song for the suffering. He is Messiah. The Prince of Peace has come. He has come, Emmanuel. Glory to the light of the world. 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 For all who wait, for all who hunger, for all who've prayed, for all who wonder, behold your King. Behold Messiah, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Glory to the light of the world. Glory to the light of the world. Behold your King. Behold Messiah, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. The world waits for the miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. O come, Emmanuel.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.